Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
Are you there?
Oh, you ready to rock and roll? We just came back. We're up live, my man.
Oh, well.
Welcome.
Oh, we're on live. There we go.
We're on the air.
Yes.
The red light's on.
Oh, well, let's get after it then. How are we doing, everybody? It's 1:33 in Edmonton. Bob Stauffer and Brendan Escott with you. Hey, Brendan, just before we get to our midterm reports, why don't we do a re-rack on NHL today for our friends at Elite Promotional Marketing, your local branded merchandising specialist. Head to ElitePromoMarketing.com. A lot of action today around the National Hockey League. What do you got?
Yeah, let's... of course, now my webpage is going to freeze.
How about I help you out here, because I'm up.
Yeah, please.
We will tell you that Boston has come back from a 2-0 deficit on home ice. They're tied 2-2. David Krejci has a pair. They're tied 2-2 against Carolina. That's with about 8 minutes left in the third period. The Flames are out shooting the Washington Capitals, but they trail a Caps 1-0 on a goal from TJ Oshie. That is in the second period. There's about 4 minutes left. Kirby Dach and the Montreal Canadiens have... gone into Chicago. Of course, Stock, the third overall pick in the 2019 NHL draft. He was traded by Chicago in a somewhat surprising deal. He's having a good season his first year in Montreal. The Canadiens are up 2-1 over the Blackhawks. The Canadiens, by the way, are 10-9-1 this year. A lot of people thought they might be a team that's in the hunt for Connor Bedard. Toronto Maple Leafs, Mitch Marner has a 13-game point streak. The Maple Leafs in the second period lead the Minnesota Wild by a score of 3-2. By the way, the Canadiens and the Hawks are headed to the third. Ottawa and Anaheim, later this afternoon, Brendan mentioned in the first hour of the show, the Colorado and Nashville was postponed due to a water leak at Bridgestone Arena. Pittsburgh and the Flyers, Arizona and Detroit. The New York Islanders are in Columbus to play the Blue Jackets. New Jersey takes on the Buffalo Sabres. St. Louis at the Tampa Bay Lightning. Seattle having a good go here to start the year at Vegas. Winnipeg is in Dallas, and the LA Kings host the San Jose Sharks. The Oilers and the New York Rangers tomorrow. That is an 11 o'clock puck drop as the Edmonton Oilers get ready to take on the New York Rangers. Connor Bedard is in Vancouver tonight with the Regina Pats to take on the Vancouver Giants. And you know the dreams of Canucks fans right now, and Bedard grew up a fan of the Vancouver Canucks. He's the consensus number one pick in the NHL draft. Shane Wright was a consensus number one pick last year. He's in the minors for now, but likely to play for Team Canada. He ended up going fourth overall to Seattle and maybe traded his rights traded back in Major Junior to a team that's going for it this year. The Bakersfield Condors tomorrow host San Jose, the Barracuda. That's obviously the Sharks farm team, and the Edmonton Oil Kings have two games in Swift Current. How's that, Brendan? Not bad?
I appreciate that. That's teamwork.
All right. Well, good. Now you can bail me out. We do want to mention, too, the best pizza in the city, still making a great Royal Pizza, multiple locations in Edmonton to serve you at 138 in Edmonton. 50-plus years, Royal Pizza has been Edmonton-owned and operated. They have now got 15 spots in Edmonton, 4 in Calgary. And you can, for locations and menus, you can visit royalpizza.ca or download the Royal Pizza app. The staff recommendations, the Mediterranean chicken, and Brendan Escott is a big fan of the Texan. Let's get to it. You ready to drop the puck here on our report card?
Yeah, let's rock and roll.
All right, we're 20 games into the season. The team's sitting at a 500 record, which I think it's fair to say is disappointing for pretty much everybody that's, you know, there's high expectations of this hockey club. We are going to start in goal. I'll drop the puck with two guys. So here's how the rankings work. A is excellent. B is above average. C is average. And D is poor. This is pretty easy for me. I would go B for Stuart Skinner, above average, and a D for Jack Campbell to this point. He has not provided the Oilers with what they're looking for. Brendan, your thoughts?
I'm going to go ahead and give Skinner an A here because of how far he's exceeded expectations and was, you know, thrown into a fire that I don't think many of us expected out of the gate. So the way he handled that earns him an A for me. Campbell, unfortunately, also gets a D in this instance.
All right. And my hope is I'm not giving up on Campbell. I just know that he needs to play a lot better here as the season goes on. And we switch focus to the defense. So we have Nurse, CC, Kulak, Bouchard, Murray, Niemelainen, and Barry that we're going to be giving grades for. I'm going to give Cody Ceci his plus 7 on the season. He's going to get a B for me. I'm going to give Nurse a C, Kulak is at dash two. He's taken on a little bit more responsibility. I'm going to give him a C. This one, next one's going to be contentious. I know Bouchard's minus 10. The fact is, if you look at his advanced numbers, they're not as bad as, you know, and I know he's had a bunch of shots blocked. I'm going to give him a C. I see a higher ceiling. Barry, I'm going to give a B. Murray, I guess he is what he is, a $750,000 defenseman. He gets a C. And Niemelainen, I give a C relative to the fact that he has been sent to the minors. So you're going to say, Stauffer, how can you go an entire defense, know that the defense has got to improve? Well, the problem is the highest grade I gave was CC a B, and we got a bunch of guys with Cs, and I look at the time spent in the Oilers zone when Bouchard's on the ice. I know he's got to defend better, but I just can't justify giving him a D. So, Brendan, your thoughts.
Okay, well, that's one of two places that we differ here, and I did give Bouchard a D because, to me, the eye test has been so telling in many of the wrong reasons. The falling on the seat of his pants, turnovers that we don't expect. He hasn't been able to break through on the power play really like we thought he might this year, and this is a player we're expecting to see goals from. Edmonton's not getting any goals scoring from its defense. He has zero of them on the year in 20 games. So he is so far below my expectations of him. I'll give him a D. And I gave Nurse a B because I think that he is sort of the sole source of physicality and intimidation on this team right now. And he has leaned into that since the preseason in reality. So I like what he's done. Everything else, you and I are spot on. I like what Barry's done, particularly in that Evan Bouchard hasn't been able to break through on the power play. Well, Barry's been there, and that's probably why.
Yeah, CC at plus 7, and that's an accomplishment right now with this defense, with some of the challenges they had. We'll go bottom 6 and then top 6 for forwards. Malone gets an incomplete for me. He's only played the 3 games. Shore. I'm going to give Shore a C, Brendan, just because I don't know if you can expect more out of 8 minutes a game, and he's basically even on the season. Janmark, I guess I'm going to give him a C. He was supposed to be on the team at the start of the year, didn't make it. It was partially cap-related. Haven't minded what we've seen out of him and Costin, for that matter. I'm actually going to give Costin a B. I've kind of liked his game when he's been in there. Holloway, I was hoping for more. Again, opportunity, injury. I don't see giving Holloway a D. For me, Holloway is a C. Derek Ryan, I'm disappointed in the faceoffs. He's at 41%, but at least he scored a couple goals, which is more than some other bottom six guys can say. I'll give him a C. Puljujärvi. Now, here's one where, you know, I didn't give Bouchard a D, but I am going to give Puljujärvi a D because I think he has had more opportunity 5-on-5 in stretches. He, too, is at minus 10. So those are the guys that have spent the majority of the time in the bottom six. And I'm going to add Ryan McLeod. And McLeod gets a C. At one point, he was a B, but he's worked himself back to a C. Fire away, Brendan.
Yeah, I'll give McLeod. I think that's a good way of saying it. He started out on track for a B here. Nobody's running away with an A. Absolutely not at this juncture. Janmark, I am going to give a B too, for the same reason. If I'm going to invest that much stock into the eye test, I've really liked his work ethic. I liked it basically from game two onward in terms of his, you know, he's kind of that tenacious puck presence that Kyler Yamamoto was expected to be and just hasn't been in the lineup for. So now to see, you know, that Janmark was up there for a couple of games, gave him a look, and I guess he's dash one in 6 games, but I'll still let him exceed my expectations there, as has Costin. Where's the physical presence? Well, it hasn't been much, but it's been coming from number 21, certainly. Where else are we here? Puljujärvi, oh man, I have a D written down, Bob, and I feel like I have to try hard not to be hard on this player. And maybe I would give credence to a C for the fact that he has looked every bit of 6'4" this season, and that's not something we've been able to say in the past. He's stumped some people and I think is trying to engage more there. So I'll give him some credit on that front. Wouldn't it be nice to have somebody in the bottom six who could win faceoffs at a 57 or 58% clip? No, it hasn't.
And Derek Ryan. I mean, he's supposed to be a guy that wins faceoffs, and he hasn't done it. And, yeah, he's got a couple goals. And the couple goals, and the only reason, like, he's had some tough moments. You know, he's part of the penalty killing unit now. They've advanced that. One more thing, just on Puljujärvi getting a D and Bouchard a C for me. If their ages were reversed and it was Bouchard 24 and Puljujärvi 22, and it was Bouchard that was, or Puljujärvi still on his ELC and Bouchard making $3 million, I think I would have flipped. I would have flipped at that point. So I would have, but I factor in age, experience. I think it's harder to play defense at a young age than it is forward. And I was really, I mean, I'm kind of in shock. I got to tell you, Brendan, I'm in shock as to what's happened with Puljujärvi. Think of a year ago, and he was looking like a player, you know? So it's really disappointing. And I there's a lot of yes of Puljujärvi. I'm sensing there's fewer yes of Puljujärvi fans now, Brendan, than there were maybe a month ago, because he just hasn't got enough accomplished.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to our top six. Is there any debate that McDavid gets an A?
No, not at all. He's on the penalty kill right now. He is doing everything he can. He gets an A.
Draisaitl gets a B for me. Maybe an A-. He's playing 22 minutes a game, like McDavid. They're both around 53% in the face-off circle. He does kill penalties. A little bit of a drop-off in his last couple games. Otherwise, he probably would have gotten an A. I'm going to give Nugent Hopkins a B. He has a minus. He's had a good year. You know, and Hyman, I'm going to give a B as well. That's the problem. They're sitting in this position, and they've got four forwards that are Bs or better, including the best player in the world that's got an A. Evander Kane, for me, basically at a point per game was +4 when he went out and had 51 hits in 14 games. He gets a B. Yamamoto, unfortunately, I don't think he's been right all year. I'll give Yamamoto a C, partially because I'm factoring in the upper body thing. I don't think he's been right since he got blindsided a couple of years ago, or a year ago in the playoffs, by Gabriel Landeskog. And the guy that's moved into the top six has been Warren Fogle. I'm going to give Fogle a C. He had a real tough start to the year. He's actually, I think, he's been a little quiet on this trip so far in the first two games, but he had a decent six-game stretch. So give me your thoughts on the guys that have spent the majority of the time in the Oilers' top six.
Again, we're very, very similar in our rankings here. I did give Zach Hyman an A. He's just shy of a point a game here, and he kills penalties. He's on the power play right now. He's Mr. Reliable. He sets the tone, I think, for, you know, how the forecheck should be, and they all talk about that in the media scrums and that sort of thing. So the way that he has been driving that and the way he's been so noticeable to me on the ice, I'll give him an A. Draisaitl, I think, if healthy, could have had an A start to the season, right? But here he is sitting at a B, and you can say that about Yamamoto too. Maybe things would be different, but he is really struggled even in those games that he played with 3 points, all assists. So a player that we expected to see hanging around probably 17, 18 or more minutes a game and in the top six is now not, or he's been a non-factor essentially for a lot of this. So give him a C there. Fogle is I think he has stretches where he has exceeded expectations. He had stretches out of the gate where he was well below expectations. So round that out to a nice even C as well.
All right. When we come back in Oilers Now, it is currently 1:47 in Edmonton. We'll get to coaching and management. The Oilers are 10-10, so you can imagine that we're not, you know, the reality of the situation is your record is what it says you are. We'll get to that when we return on Oilers Now. Welcome back, everybody. Bob Stauffer, Brendan Escott with you. We're doing our quarter report on the Oilers report cards. So far, I think I've only given out one A. That was to McDavid. We do have a text here from Mark in St. Albert. He says, Bob, of course you'll give Puljujärvi a lower rating than Bouchard. You always pump your favorite players like Bouchard and Holloway. Come on, Bob, from Mark in St. Albert. So Mark's being a Puljujärvi loyalist. My explanation, I already mentioned it to you. If Jesse was 22 and Bouchard was 24, and Jesse was on an ELC and Bouchard was making $3 million a year, I would have flipped the marks. But I think it's tougher to play defense. I think if you look at the fact that Bouchard's living with a 4% shooting percentage, lower than that after the last game, the Oilers are shooting at 4% when he's on the ice. His minus, he's still got to have greater urgency. But hey, Mark, good for you for sticking up for Puljujärvi. That's a good thing. Let's go to our look, Brendan, it's pretty simple. The team's 10-10. We're all hoping that they'd be further along right now and better. I got a C for the manager and a C for the coach. There hasn't been a lot of activity. It's just started to pick up around the league. If it were me, I would like to see the Oilers with Kane out of the lineup, 51 hits in 14 games. He made a huge difference to the Oilers' top six. Because the hope is he comes back and you have cap issues, you can't add that player. But I think you got to find a way to get a player. So I'll say C because some bets haven't worked out, but I don't think it's all on the manager. I think injuries played a factor on the management side. And then with coaching, the coach is part of the team. And the team, you know, Jay came up and did an A-grade job for the final 38, and he'd be the first to say, hey, we got to be part of the ownership of the situation that the team's in right now. So I'm giving them a C as well. They're at 10-10. What do you think?
I think you're bang on. And unfortunately, it doesn't make for great radio, but here's my justification. I watched a Sedin-led Canucks team get beaten up in playoff series year after year after year after year, taking it to Game 7 against Boston, who beat them and punched them in the face, and it never led to a Stanley Cup. And I'm not saying that that's necessarily how things work now, but they seem to be the only team, Edmonton is, or one of very, very few, that is reluctant to buy into the fact that there is still a place for this kind of grit in the league, at least in the way that the roster's been constructed so far. So until there's a reaction to what's happened in the loss of the sandpaper that comes from even Kyler Yamamoto, but more specifically Kane, there is only a C-grade available here. I think they're lagging behind some other teams without that grit, and we're seeing the lack of defensive depth, I think, exposed in a sense. If Broberg's okay and we see more out of him in this stint, yep, then I'll retract that statement for sure. Coaching-wise, I'll pin it on a struggling penalty kill for sure. The team's goal against, the way that Dylan Holloway has sort of been underused, I think, relative to our expectations at the beginning of the year, and there's got to be something said, Bob, for the starts of games as well.
Yeah, so I'm with you on that. So again, at the end of the day, I gave 1A and 2Ds out, and Campbell would be the first to tell you he needs to be better. And again, for me with Puljujärvi, like in the past he was a plus player and he, in fairness to him, he has decent shot metrics, but I just wish there was something. And the expectation level gets driven because of the price point that he's at. 153 in Edmonton. What'd you end up? You gave Skinner an A, you gave McDavid an A, and Hyman an A?
That's correct. I got three.
Yeah. Three A's. Yeah. Okay. Let's go to this day in Oilers history for New West Travel. Give the gift of travel, and you can join Oilers now in Vegas in January to see the Oilers and the Golden Knights. Reach out to New West Travel. Go online at newwesttravel.com. I remember this date. It was not good for a guy who unfortunately is no longer with us. Go ahead, Brendan.
1993, Edmonton coach Ted Green was fired after coaching the Oilers to a 3-18-3 record, the worst start in franchise history. President and GM of the Oilers, Glenn Sather, replaced Green as coach, leading Edmonton to a 22-27-11 record the rest of the way.
What do you got? What's Reed Wilkins got shaking on Inside Sports Night, Brendan?
No, he's got a busy show. One sec here. He's been texting me about it. I've got it. He says Colin Miller will join him tonight, and they are looking at Dave Maloney, as well as Justin Lawrence, who just won a Grey Cup with the Toronto Argonauts out of the University of Alberta.
All right, tomorrow again, the pregame show, face-off show, begins at 9:30 a.m. Edmonton time. Cam Moon and myself will have the call of the game. Rob Brown, Reed Wilkins, Jack Michaels, Brendan Escott, all part of the Oilers Radio Network. Puck drop is at 11. We will have a live show from you from Rogers Place on Monday. Up next, the global news weather traffic update with Kevin Robertson, followed by Rob Breckenridge from 2 to 3, then the 6:30 Chet Afternoons with Jay Lynn Nye. Have a wonderful weekend, everybody, and I'll talk to you tomorrow morning from MSG at 9:35. Edmonton time.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink. All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone, like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.